Welcome to the Adventist Music Podcast. This is a show that shares the stories of Seventh-day Adventist musicians from around the world. I'm your host, Khan Elmers. I love music and I am a podcast producer as well. In today's episode, we'll explore Luis Laporte's latest Christmas album. You don't want to miss it. If you haven't already, give the podcast a review and share it with a friend. That'll help me to spread the word and continue sharing these amazing stories. Thank you to our supporters. Without you guys, this podcast would not be possible. So now on for today's episode with Luis. Luis, can you share a bit about who you are and some of your favorite hobbies apart from music?
Well, my name is Luis Laporte. I'm a Christian recording artist. I've been in music ministry for about 14 years. I've had the opportunity of recording 4 albums and also appearing on various Christian television programs, as well as doing concerts and tours, both nationally and internationally. Some of my hobbies outside of music would be spending time with my friends, also spending time with my family. I just really enjoy the time I can spend with people that I love. I love spending time in the beach, as well as I love working out. Now, sometimes that might change depending how tired I am in my workouts in the morning, but I also enjoy that. So.
And I believe this is not your first time on the podcast as well, right? You came on earlier.
Absolutely. Yes. With my third album, Peace of the Lord. And we talked about that title track. Absolutely.
Yeah. In today's episode, we're going to be exploring another album that you had recently released as well. Can you describe that a bit to us?
Born is the King, my first ever Christmas album, released last year, November of last year. And it is a wonderful collection of Christmas classics. I have 16 songs on this album. 8 of them are hymns, some of the well-known Christmas hymns that we all love and sing, as well as 8 traditional carols. So you can hear a little bit of everything. You can hear some of the hymns and also some of the traditional carols like Let It Snow and Winter Wonderland, Sleigh Ride, all those good songs.
Take us back to the early time when you first, as a child at Christmas time. What do you have, like, any nostalgic moments that you had when you were a child?
Absolutely. It was a very special time. I always remember Mom decorating the inside of the house, and she made it look like a magazine. She had lights everywhere. It was a huge event to pull out the tree. I remember my dad outside and putting lights on the roof and on the bushes and having a huge manger. And we would help our parents decorate. I also remember a lot of church programs. So that's how we started singing. I remember my first solo during the Christmas time was Away in a Manger. And so that's how I remember a lot of the Christmas time with a lot of the programs and concerts that we would do. As well, a fun fact, my dad is a pastor, and so we have lived everywhere. And for 4 years, we actually were in South Dakota, cold, freezing South Dakota. So for about 4 years, I really did have a white Christmas, snow and everything. So that added to the programs, they added to the time I spent with my family, and just amazing food. And another thing I have to mention is my father is a lover of music and he loves Christmas music. So he always was playing Christmas music in the house, playing it in the car. I think he was driving my mom crazy a little bit with as much Christmas music that he was playing and whatnot. But I fell in love with that music. We were listening to Vicky Carr, her Christmas music, as well as Johnny Mathis. And as well as Mahalia Jackson. And that was actually the very first version of Go Tellin' on the Mountain, which we're actually going to talk about in this podcast today. So, I mean, Christmas is filled with so many great memories for me.
Take us back to, like, one of those memories that you had with your family. Can you describe how that like inspired you to create this album?
So everything about Christmas music reminds me of the time with family. So many times we would be gathering in the living room, singing Christmas songs, as well as just kind of talking with one another, having hot chocolate. Sometimes we would have tea there as well, the good smell of food. And that just reminded me that we were coming together. And also my father was very key on teaching us the reason for Christmas. Yes, we would celebrate. Yes, we would get presents, but also it was about Jesus, how God sent his son Jesus to die for us and to take our place. And so that is something to be joyful about. That's something to be happy about. And so those memories help set the stage for something that is happy, that something that's exciting, something that we can celebrate about. And so when I did this album, this is very personal for me because a lot of these songs take me back to those times in my childhood. And that makes me smile. That makes me really happy knowing that all these songs have a special connection and especially point people to Jesus.
That's so cool. Can you bring us back to the moment like when you decided to make the album? Because I know it didn't just appear out of in a vacuum, right? Like, take us back to like the time when you like started like dreaming this album.
Oh, wow. So I have to take you way back. I started my music ministry in about 2011. And since 2011, I have been doing Christmas concerts. And especially when I moved overseas, I was living in Saipan for about 2 years. Every single year, I would give Christmas concerts to the city. They would hire me to sing for Christmas parties and private events. And so this was all instilled in me for a very long time. So I had a huge batch of songs that I would do every year. Now, coming back into the States, I wasn't doing as many Christmas concerts. I started recording my first several albums, and I was doing a lot of traveling. And every time Christmas would roll around, I would, you know, put on my Christmas vinyl records. Not sure if anyone has heard of those. And as well as all my Christmas playlists on Spotify. And every time I would hear them, I'd be like, wow, I really want to do something like this. I want to release Christmas music. But I fought it for a very long time, to be honest with you, because releasing Christmas music is something that's very difficult. You have a small batch of time. But I remember at the time that I was getting ready to go on tour for my third album, Peace of the Lord, I started listening to Christmas music back in April, May, for some odd reason. And I started thinking, you know, how cool would it be that I could put together a huge batch of songs and do a Christmas album? And it kept on weighing on me. And I kept on listening to this music. And I was like, you know what? I should really do this. I need to stop all the lily-gagging and I need to get to work. So I remember when I was finished with my tour, I contacted the studio and I asked them, would you be willing to do a Christmas album with me? And they're like, absolutely. And that started this whole big journey that took about a year and a half.
Did you face any challenges while you were in that process?
First of all, I wanted to put my Christmas shows that I would do every year on this album, as well as combine it with a bunch of other songs that the church will know and love. And so song selection was something that I went back and forth with for a very long time, as well as arrangements. There's a lot of different arrangements on here. There's some songs that are more on the R&B side. There are some songs that are more on the jazz side, and that's a new endeavor for me. I have never recorded jazz before, but if you turn on We Three Kings or Let It Snow or Jingle Bells, we actually hired a jazz band to do the track for those songs. And then there's also some traditional songs on there like O Holy Night, which I really like. Go Tell It on the Mountain, which that was really fun to record. And so the challenges were to find the perfect balance of putting the concert on record, as well as doing things that people would enjoy and people would really open up to and be like, yeah, I want to play that at my Christmas party, or I want to play it in the car. So it's something that we worked really hard on, and I think we achieved it because the people I worked with are amazing.
Oh, that's really great. It helps if you get along with them, for sure. And so, okay, you have created this album. You have now released it. It's out there for everyone to listen to. And so where can they listen to it?
So the album is called Born is the King. You can look for it everywhere, on Spotify, on Apple Music, Amazon Music, on YouTube, on Pandora, absolutely everywhere where music is sold. You can also find physical CDs at my website, luislaporte.com.
So next, we're going to explore Luis's song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Don't go anywhere. All right, so in this next section, we're going to explore one of your songs, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Take me back to a time when you recorded the song.
So, Go Tell It on the Mountain is my favorite Christmas hymn. I have been singing this song for years. This is a particularly newer arrangement that I have not done, but it's something that is very joyful. I love this song because it kind of gives us that feeling of joy, of excitement, of happiness, telling other people that Jesus is born. And I've had the opportunity of performing this and all of my Christmas concerts. And we just had such a good time recording it. I remember I recorded this song in March, and I had literally everything red on to kind of put myself in the Christmas spirit right then and there. But it was just so much fun.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. I said to go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus is born. My shepherds kept their watching, boys silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, they shone a holy light.
Why do you think you chose this song?
This song, as I said, is one of my favorites, but also it encourages people to go out and tell others about the good news. I mean, the good news, yes, it's for us, but it's for them too. We got to spread it. We got to shout it on the mountain. We have to tell people about it.
So just let's talk about that then. You said that you like to perform this song in particular at your concerts. Yes. Yeah.
Definitely.
Take us back to some of those experiences that you had with this song.
Well, you can always see people come with a smile on their face. So I always ask people to stand on this song. I ask them to clap their hands on this song, and it is such a happy time in my concert. You could always see people singing along, people smiling, people very joyful, people very jittery when I sing this song, and it's such a blessing for me as a singer to be able to see their reaction, to see the expression on their face, and it's something that I always look forward to. It's a song that, as I said, fills the concert and that particular time with such joy. And there might be a phrase or two that I might give the audience the microphone and they finish the phrase for me. And it's so cool to hear them sing nice and loud.
No, that's so awesome. It sounds like you have a lot of interaction with your crowds when you go and
very
play.
Very much.
Yeah.
And I do that on purpose. Mm. I want people to be engaged in a concert. I want them to be able to feel free to sing along, to feel free to participate with me. And so I always tell people, if you know these songs and want to sing along, go right ahead. That's why I'm there for. We're there to worship. It's not about me. It's about worshiping Jesus. And so I always invite people to come along this journey with me. It's not just my journey, and it's their journey too. And many of these people have a lot of different stories to these songs as well. So that's why I keep on singing them. It's special to them, like it's special to me, and we can come together for that.
Well, tell us a bit more about that. How is the song special to you? And can you tell us, like, maybe go back to the first time when you heard the song and how that became special for you?
So Mahalia Jackson, I remember hearing her sing this song. My dad would play it on cassette tape in the car. And I just remember her passion for this song. She sang it a little bit slower than what I sing it, but she had such a joy and conviction in her spirit when she would sing this song that would come off through the recording. And that's something that I wanted to do. So when I heard that, and she would sing, hallelujah. And so I remember her doing that all throughout the song. And she just, as I said, had a passion. And that's something that I wanted to emulate. That's something that I was really excited about when I heard it. And I said, you know, I want to give that excitement and joy to other people when I sing this song. And so that's always been one of my favorites. And so it was a given that when I did this Christmas album that I had to record that song. There was no choice.
It's no choice. Well, exactly. I hope that our listeners enjoy the song and that they will also be blessed by hearing it. What do you want them to take away from it? Like, what message in particular or feeling would you like people to experience from this song?
There are a lot of people during the Christmas time, especially when they see a lot of joy in the air, they see a lot of excitement, they see the things on TV, the music playing, the joy in the air. And I do realize that there are a lot of people suffering during Christmas time as well. That they might look at Christmas time and they're like, I don't have too much to celebrate about. Life hasn't been so good. And so my message to them is there is hope. There is joy. And that joy is found in Jesus. Just like he came and died for you and I, he has died for everybody else. And that is something worth celebrating about. Yes, life gets hard. Life sometimes is unexplainable. But God is our joy. Just because him, we have a reason to smile. We have a reason to go tell it on the mountain. Don't mean to be cheesy, but we have a lot of reason to tell other people about how amazing he is. And that's something that I hope it puts a smile on people's face, knowing that there's a hope. Just like you see people smiling and joyful, you can have that because Jesus has given that to you.
Thank you guys for supporting the podcast. Next up on the episode, we will be exploring how you can produce a Christmas album. So make sure to stick around. So I hope that you have been inspired by Luis's story. Let's jump into how you can produce a Christmas album. So Luis, is there any tips you could give?
Yes, absolutely. My first tip would be do your love of Christmas. So Christmas is different for a lot of different people. It looks differently from family to family. So I think every person should be as authentic as possible. Do your love of Christmas. So think about those songs that are special to you. But one thing I will say as well, choose the songs that you are passionate about and also know what type of genre you want to do. Don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone. I have stepped out a lot and left my comfort zone in recording this album. As I said, we have a lot of jazz on here. We have a lot of R&B on here. We have a lot more classical songs on here. So I really had to work hard to find what I wanted to do and what I wanted them to sound like. I also would suggest having ample time to record a Christmas album. It takes time, and for something to come out really good, I don't have a problem with that. It takes time, and that's okay. I'd rather take my time and come out with a good product rather than rush and come up with a bunch of arrangements and vocals and tracks that you're not going to be a big fan of. I can look at this album and be like, you know what? These tracks are awesome. They sound really good. And it took time to get that. It wasn't immediate. There were some songs that, you know, I was like, okay, it's really good. And some other songs, okay, we need to change a few things. I want to change the interludes. And also trusting your producers. The producers have their own ideas. And I told them, okay, I want you to come up with your own ideas on this interlude. Come up with your own ideas on this particular song. And boy, they did. Let me tell you. And so it's also about trusting the people in charge. They know what they're doing, as well as I want their creative energy as well. So it might be a little bit different from mine, but doesn't mean there's anything any issue with it. I think that you embrace the different things and you smile at it and you move on. And I like things to be a little bit different and unique. That's what makes you original.
Right. Okay. So that's helped you a lot to form your way you deal with the band members. Because I mean, it sounds like it's a really back and forth process that you're having to deal with on a daily basis.
Of months.
Every song, you're giving them notes. You're telling them, "I like this. I like that."
Yes.
Tell us a bit more about that relationship that you had with your producer.
We've always had a really good relationship. So they can text me and they ask me, "Hey, what do you think of this?" And also, you know, we both kind of go back and forth, like, I need the key changed a little bit. Let's raise the key. Let's lower the key. And they're kind enough to do that. And one thing that's great about LG Hamilton, who has produced all these tracks, as I said, him and the music group, go check them out, is something that he told me all the time. It was, I want you to be happy with this track. Whatever we need to do to make you love this track, we will do it. Look at this album and make sure you like what you hear. We want you to smile when you hear these tracks and that you're able to do them with ease. So for me, that was very special because that made me free to kind of be myself and do exactly what I wanted to do. So I was very picky, but they wanted me to be picky. And they also worked me on some of those songs. As I said, some of those songs are not easy to sing. So they had me holding some notes and I tried to fight them on it. They're like, "Oh no, you got this, bro."
Tell us a bit more about that process about, like, number one, promoting your album, your Christmas album. Like, what, tell us a bit about like what you did in terms of activities, about things that you've done in order to promote your album.
As I said, when I planned to record this album and to put this out, it was about a year and a half out. So I had ample time to plan how I wanted to do this. So the big thing that I wanted to do, I got together with my videographer, Jamal. He's amazing. And we decided that we were going to record 8 videos for this album. And so I remember getting together with him. We actually did a music video that's coming out here real soon for Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. We started thinking about what we wanted to do to promote the Christmas album. And I told him what I would want to do. I would want to record a bunch of reels and keep them going all throughout the holiday season to keep social media saturated and to give a little bit more push, a little bit more umph to this album, along with television appearances and a few other things we have in the works. So on a particularly busy weekend that I was already doing television, when I was done doing two television shows, I flew to North Carolina and I arrived there at 1 a.m. in the morning. And that day we ended up recording 8 songs. We rented a venue. We decorated it for Christmas. I had my assistant, who has been a longtime fan. I call her Luis La Forte Groupie because she's not only a friend, but she's also a fan. And so she decorated the trees and got the area all nice. We found a bunch of props that we can use, and we went to recording all 8 of these songs. And if you look on my Instagram, if you look on my TikTok, if you look on my Facebook, on YouTube, you can see all these awesome videos. And social media is everything for independent artists these days, because, you know, we're not signed to a major label. So our possibilities of promoting this to a bigger bigger audience is slimmer. And so social media is something that we have to be quite active on consistently, that people see what you're doing. They can also see your new product, especially physically seeing you, not only hearing the music, but actually seeing you perform the music. So you'll see videos for Go Holy Night, Go Tell It on the Mountain, which was my favorite video to record. I had a vintage phone that I was singing into. And so it's just kind of my crazy ideas that I had working on that video with the tree behind me. And we also did videos for the Christmas song that I was wrapped up in a blanket, sipping some hot chocolate. So we just had fun. We had a good day. It was hard work, but well worth it. And it was great. I'm really happy with the result.
So looking back on your experience here creating your album, what is like one piece of advice that you would give to someone out there who is thinking about producing their own Christmas project?
Well, there's a lot of pieces of advice. And my first thing is go and decorate your house. No, I'm just playing. But I love Christmas time. So to get in the mood, for me, I was decorating quite some time, you know, before Christmas. But on a more serious note, give yourself ample time to look at all the songs you want to do and make a detailed plan, how you want them to sound, how you want the instruments to be, what you want to convey, what the message you want for this album. And so everything kind of fell into place for me because I had a structured plan. So when you're going into doing a Christmas album, have that plan. What do you want it to sound like? Who do you want to reach? My goal in doing this album was to not only reach the people inside the church, but outside of the church that, you know, love Christmas music. And then they end up listening to the album and they hear about that special message of Jesus coming to this earth. And the joy in that. So that is something that I'm really passionate about. But yes, take your time. Look at all the songs you could do. Look at the arrangements you want to do. And allow yourself to be creative. This is a lot of fun. So enjoy it. Embrace it. Smile a lot. And just look what you can create.
It sounds like it's an immensely creative process that you go through when you're deciding on what to do for a Christmas project as an artist, an independent artist, and immensely creative, and much better if you have a team of people to help you out with. So thank you so much for sharing your experience with me on the podcast, Luis. I know you have had a lot of challenges and experiences over the past year and a half creating this project, but praise God because you made it through. And look, now you have a testimony to share to encourage other people to do something. Like, I think like doing something like this actually takes a lot of faith in God, because one, it's not cheap. Two, it takes a lot of time and effort. And three, you know, like it's a passion. And so it takes faith in Christ.
I appreciate you saying that. Yeah. Yes, it most definitely is. A lot of faith. But I have to say that this is my favorite album I've ever done. And so, and I think every artist says that about their new album, but I am really, really proud of this one.
Yeah. Wow. Keep it up, Luis. I'm so proud of you, man. Do you have like a question that you wish that I asked you on this interview?
So one question I wish you had asked me was, how do you encompass a Christmas album, releasing it and doing concerts all in 1 month? And the month of December is that month.
So how do you actually do that? I mean, like one day, you got 30 days. Like, do you have like a, do you make a plan or like a calendar or something like that?
Definitely. First of all, I have a a huge calendar of social media posts that goes out weeks in advance. So it's even running as we speak. And so I have that way ahead of time. I start booking concerts months in advance. Christmas gets very busy for a lot of people with travel, and a lot of churches are doing Christmas events. So I try to get ahead of the game and I start booking concerts way ahead of time, and also filming any music videos way ahead of time. So there's enough time for editing as well as putting music out. I make sure it's at a time that I am able to put together promotion. So the album was already completed during the summer, but now it was time for me to sit down and kind of look at the promoting, putting the videos together, booking concerts, booking television shows. And there's some things that are unexpected. I had a network that ended up calling me back. I was there in September or October, I can't remember which one. And they invited me back to promote my Christmas album in December. So things come up, and a lot of traveling, a lot of promoting, a lot of social media. So it takes a lot of time out of your schedule, but you know, once it happens and once you go through, it's something that you can smile about.
Yeah, so hopefully you've learned a few things about how to produce produce a Christmas album through this conversation with Luis. And yeah, that brings us to the end of this podcast. Thank you so much for listening to Adventist Music. It was produced by me, Khan Elmers. Adventist Music shares the song stories of Adventist musicians from around the world. We are completely listener supported. So if you like the podcast, please make sure you share it with a friend. It helps us to spread the word. And also give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you so much for supporting, and make sure to listen in on the next episode of Adventist Music.